This is Just Jenny on Sirius XM Stars.
So during the break, I went online and I went to that website that won't tell me where the chocolate comes from. And I got a list of all their territory managers, and I'm going to have a lot to do later to find my chocolate. Anyway, let me bring on my first guest today, Dr. John Paul Tutela. Do you like to go by John Paul Tutela or just Dr. Tutela? What do you like to be called?
Anything is really fine. Most of my patients call me Dr. Tutela, but John Paul is fine.
Okay, I'll call you Dr. Tutela because you earned that doctor thing.
That's all right.
And you're an MD, not a DO.
Correct.
I know, I was kidding. It was a joke.
No, all right.
Not that there's anything wrong with being a DO.
No, right.
But it is a whole different... What is that? Can you be a surgeon and be a doctor of osteopathic medicine?
Yes, you can. Their training is a little bit different than ours.
Yeah.
But they have their own kind of residency programs.
Yeah.
And some of them are integrated.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's come a long way, I guess. Because to me, I mean, I know it's not the same... It's my own issue and it's my age and it's a generational thing that I think of MDs as doctors and I don't really think of anyone else as doctors, but I know that that's not true. So I know that you have worked with famous people like Snooki. She's talked about coming to now. How does that happen that Snooki gets to you and says, "Hey, Dr. Tutela, I'm Snooki," and you're like, duh.
Right. She's actually a friend of a friend. So she kind of found me through a good friend of mine from a long time ago. And so she just kind of came into my office like everybody else.
And I know that you know Carolina Bermudez, who's a friend of mine too.
Yes, she's awesome.
So that, yeah, so she's talked about you as well. And she's, yeah, she's just a great girl. She's just a lovely,
yeah, she's wonderful.
Adorable,
and
sweet,
she's so much
nice,
fun.
Talented.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and kind.
Yes,
love
absolutely.
Her. Yeah, I'm a big
Me
fan.
Too.
Big fan.
Me too.
So let's talk about what you do as a plastic surgeon. Are you like a boob doctor, a face doctor? Like, what's your thing?
So a lot of what I do is breast and body cosmetic surgery, as well as breast reconstruction after breast cancer. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the procedures I do cosmetic surgery-wise are breast augmentations, lifts, tummy tucks, liposuction, Brazilian butt lift, that sort of 360-degree body contouring. Mm-hmm. And on the reconstructive side of things, it is mainly breast cancer reconstruction. So women who have had their breasts removed or part of their breasts removed in treatment of breast cancer, and I help restore a natural shape back to their body.
Oh, that's cool. I think that's important and probably so helpful and esteem building for women who go through breast cancer because it's bad enough to have cancer, but to also feel like your femininity might be compromised in some way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's I'm so happy to kind of be part of that whole journey and the side of it where you're kind of bringing their body back to that something that's recognizable to them and kind of bringing back their sense of femininity. And so that's very... you know, inspiring to be part of that journey.
So I want to put out to my listeners, if they have questions about body contouring or breast lifts or breast augmentation or reconstructive surgery or any of the sort of tummy tuck, the concept of the mommy makeover kind of thing, they could call in at 888-947-8277. It is a very, it feels like women of a certain age, my age, because I'm 47 and I have big kids, are often, when they're thinking about plastic surgery, they are thinking about this sort of mommy makeover type thing. So what is that exactly? What does that entail? And how many women are really doing this?
Yeah, so a mommy makeover is kind of a vague term and essentially points to either a procedure or a combination of procedures that women seek out after motherhood. You know, with... pregnancy and breastfeeding and child rearing, the body kind of takes a hit and there's real damage to the skin and soft tissue. The abdominal musculature and fascia gets, you know, spread thin and really loses its ability to retain its shape and recoil. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I even have very, very fit women. One of them's a ballerina here in New York. And, you know, she had twins and her stomach musculature is totally, you know, separated and almost torn apart. So that is kind of the crux of the mommy makeover, is restoring their bodies back to the way it was before pregnancy and breastfeeding and all that. And it's that also is a story to me that is also very inspiring, because you know, you see these women who are now giving priority to themselves, where in this act of motherhood, you know, they kind of give themselves usually priority, you know, number three or four after the kids and the house. And so it's nice to kind of see these women kind of put themselves first for a moment. And that really is what it's all about. A lot of women come in and their husbands are with them, and, you know, their husbands are always being very supportive, and they say, "Oh, honey, you don't have to do this. You know, I like you just the way you are." And the women will look at them with a little bit of a crook eye, like, "I'm not doing this for you, buddy."
Right, right. Of course. No, no, no. I think if you're going to do anything to your body, if you're going to go under the knife, it has to be for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. By the way, you can go to tutelaplasticsurgery.com or on Instagram, TuteLaps or TuteLaps, to follow Dr. Tutela. How safe are these procedures? I mean, I lost a lot of weight around 8 years ago. So my stomach isn't what I want it to be. And not, I mean, I don't want it. My boobs are just saggy, but they're fine. They're still boobs, thank goodness. But so I don't, you know, I would freak out at the idea of putting anything in them, because I just couldn't handle that psychologically. But I do fantasize about a tummy tuck or about a lift, or, you know, the lifts that don't involve implants, or but how safe are these things to do? Because I'm like, I won't do it because I'm afraid I'll die.
Sure. They are very, very safe procedures if done safely. And I think by the right people. I think it's super important to really seek out a board certified plastic surgeon. And that's somebody who's got a certification by the American Board of Plastic Surgery. There are a lot of boards out there, but that's really the one for plastic surgery. And just make sure that it's being done in a center that's working with board-certified anesthesiologists. And, you know, some people, to cut costs, are trying to do procedures, you know, bigger procedures in their office and things like that. And I think that can be unsafe. So as long as you do your due diligence and find the right person who's certified and has a good plan and a good team, these are very safe procedures that are done routinely.
Why do sometimes, I mean, I know an awful story, and it's, I know a terrible story about a friend of mine who passed away after a breast reduction, and she ended up with a blood clot, and it was undiagnosed, obviously, and she was found in her apartment 2 days after, or maybe it was, she was found, I think it happened maybe 3 days post-surgery, and then she was found like a day after that, or, and so... And by the way, they did not sue. I don't believe it was the doctor's fault. Mm-hmm. I think this was like a crazy story. And the doctor, I'm not going to mention the name, but the doctor's like a super famous, like highly respected.
Right.
You might, I mean, off air, I'll tell
yeah,
you,
sure, sure.
You might know this story, but I mean, it's great. Sure. You'll be like, wow, oh my God. But why do things like that, how do you prevent things like that from happening when patients go home? Because most of these surgeries are ambulatory, and they go,
sure.
you go in, you go home, and...
Well, you know, it's good that you brought that up. I mean, there are real risks to all surgery, you know,
of
and
course.
There is no minor operation. Everything we do has a risk that we take with it. But, you know, I think one, as I said before, finding somebody who's, you know, board certified, who's going to take the right precautions, both intraoperatively and postoperatively, is really important. You know, a lot of women who I see and treat with bigger operations and combination procedures, I keep them overnight, and I even put them on blood thinners for 2 weeks afterwards to really reduce the risk of blood clots. So, you know, you just have to make sure that whoever you are kind of entrusting in this care is up to date on all the, you know, things to do to take the right precautions during surgery and after surgery, and you know, making sure that you're in the right hands.
Yeah, because these things can be avoidable when it's all handled the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. But like I said, there, you know, and as you alluded to, I mean, there are real risks to surgery. So
sure.
It's important that everybody knows them, and that should come up in your consultation.
I think so too. That's right, because there are ways you can have leg cuffs on. You can have nurses. You can. There are ways to. There's certain medication. I mean, there's ways to sort of prevent certain foreseeable weird things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most of the time. So back to the tummy tuck. What's the recovery like?
Most people take about a week to 10 days off of work. The first week after surgery, you usually have drains in. Sometimes some people do it without drains. But the first week, you know, you're kind of laid up. I mean, you're definitely hurting and kind of, you know, taking everything real slowly. The second week is much better, but, you know, you're still definitely in recovery mode. And usually by the third week, you really turn the corner and really start feeling yourself again.
And how long does it take to get back to exercise? And because that's probably a fear that many women have, that they'll get something done and then they can't work out. And then what's going to happen?
Yeah, sure. And, you know, coming off your gym schedule is very hard to get back into sometimes. You know, if you're used to going to the gym every day or a few times a week and then you take 2 weeks off, it's easy to take another 2 weeks off and then another 2 weeks off.
Of course. And then turns into 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a real thing. But yeah, most people, really for most of my surgeries, I tell people to kind of stay off of all types of exercises, including cardio, for 2 weeks. And then depending on the surgery itself, it may be heavy lifting also is, not recommended for 4 weeks or 6 weeks. Typically on a tummy tuck, I treat that the same I would a hernia in regards to exercise recommendations. And for that, it's 6 weeks of no heavy lifting.
Okay, but you could do cardio. You could do some things.
Yeah, starting at 2 weeks.
Yeah, I say it like I'm never doing it. I'm too afraid. But that's just me. But I think it's really important for women listening that if you are not comfortable with your body, if you want to change something, then do it. And you can afford to do it, then do it, because you get one life.
Yeah, absolutely. And most of these women are so, so happy and thrilled with the results afterwards, and they really feel themselves. I have many women in my office, you know, essentially in tears of joy of kind of getting their body back and just feeling sexy again and good again and being able to put on a bathing suit without being embarrassed. I mean, these are real feelings and emotions people go through, and it's nice to be part of that.
What's the most popular surgery?
I guess it really kind of depends on age, but okay. I would say, you know, either breast augmentation alone or breast lift with augmentation.
Right. And there's not, do you still do the breast lift without implants? Can that be, because I remember there's one that's like the mesh kind with a friend of mine did it with. They like tie them up, sort of.
Sure,
from the
sure.
Inside.
Internal Maspexy sutures, or some people put in a mesh. But yeah, absolutely. So it all really depends on what your goals are and what you're starting with. So if you have kind of flaccid breasts that don't have a lot of volume to them, an implant's going to really help you get the cleavage that you're looking for after surgery. But some women have plenty of breast tissue on their own. They just have a lot of excess skin, and there's ways to reduce the skin envelope, lift the breasts up back to in a more
perky.
Pleasing position. And you could really use your own breast tissue also to get upper pole volume and everything that you're looking for. Really, really depends on what you have to work with.
And what about the need to replace breast implants? Is that still a thing? Do you have to replace them every certain amount of years?
Yeah, there's nothing about the device itself that needs to be, you know, replaced every, you know, 100,000 miles.
A car.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, there's nothing about the device itself. But if you kind of look at the women who have breast surgery, let's say in their 20s, you're already self-selecting a small group of women out of the general population, right? You're selecting out women who have decided to undergo surgery for prettier breasts, right? And not every woman would do that. So now if you take that same woman and fast forward, you know, 15 years, you know, no matter what, you know, your 45-year-old breasts are not going to look like your 22-year-old breasts.
No, of course not.
So that same woman at 45 may look down and say, oh, I would do that again to get my breasts looking a little better. but there's nothing about the device itself that needs to be changed.
You don't have to. Right. No. Right. Okay. That's interesting because I've read different things.
Yeah, it's kind of a common thing that most people think.
Are you finding that people are less secretive now about having plastic surgery? That people are more willing to be open about what they're doing? I mean, I've gotten Botox since I'm, I don't know, 35 or some, and that's the only thing I've done so far.
Right.
I'm actually due because my forehead has wrinkles and I like paralysis in my forehead. I don't like it to move at all. I want an ice skating rink on my forehead.
That's awesome.
It's not for everyone, but it will, because right. I'm so hyper expressive that like I wear my emotions on my sleeve because right. I can't, there's nothing I could do about it. Like right. I'm just
on your sleeve so, and your forehead.
Yeah. I have no, right. It's like I'm transparent. So if I want to have any poker face, I got to paralyze it.
That's
so, but only because it's just the only thing I've wanted to do so far. But when it's time for me to do my neck or time for me to actually do my eyes, I'll end up doing that. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. I don't think I would be secretive about it because who cares? Like,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the taboo of plastic surgery has been right. shed, you know, to yeah. a big part. I think a lot of that has to do with just, you know, generational gains in privacy, for one, you know, with social yeah. media. I mean, everybody is posting every Everything. Moment of their yeah. life, you know, and taking yeah. pictures of themselves and their food and, you know, everything. So I think a lot of people have kind of shed this layer of privacy and kind of had, which is good because it gets people to kind of open up more about their experiences and not feel ashamed about what part of their lives, you know, make them and their decisions that they've made. So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot more people are definitely expressive and, you know, sharing about the plastic surgery that they've had. Even if you look at my own Instagram, I mean, I'm always shocked at the number of women who are like, yeah, definitely put my picture on social media, take pictures of me without my shirt on and just cover them up with some emojis. And
yeah, you know. Well, so that's what you have. You have on your Instagram at TuteLaps, TuteLaps or
Tuteleplastic Surgery. Yeah,
yeah. I know. But,
yeah, I get it.
But yeah, so, but yeah, there's a lot of boobs, but they're covered with like you cover the nipple with a heart or whatever emoji.
Yeah.
And a lot of different bellies and your work looks beautiful. I mean,
Thank you.
All these people look like they would be happy ultimately with the results. Yeah, no, it's definitely compelling, interesting, and worth checking out.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and everybody's so excited to share their story, yeah. So it's yeah. really neat.
Which I think helps other women
who are
not feeling so great. I really appreciate your coming by. Again, you can go to tuteleplasticsurgery.com or go to TuteLaps on the Instagram. Thank you so much for coming in during the snow. How are you? Do you live in New Jersey or New York City?
I live in New Jersey.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to have some kind of schlep back.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I'm operating later this afternoon, but I'll make it there.
All right. Be careful.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Thanks for being on the show. All right. Quick break, you guys. I'll be right back.
Don't go away. There's another hour of Just Jenny. Follow her at Jenny Hutt.